KPCA-LP, Petaluma, California, 103.3 FM. Good morning and welcome to Inside Petaluma right here on KPCA. I'm Cindy Thomas. I co-host with my two wonderful co-hosts, Jason Davies and Ken Peter Thompson.
Good morning.
Good morning, Petaluma.
Happy Friday. Good morning. Happy Friday. Yes. And on this day in history, we lost Jerry Garcia. 24 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I can see him perfectly.
He would have been
still around.
He would have been 77 on the 1st of August.
Died a young man. Died.
Yeah.
He was a great player, and he got better with age. So
there's been a lot of dead events. And what they call the days between, they call August 1st to August 9th the days between, which is birth and death. And last night there was a get together at the Senefel Theater where they did a concert. I can't remember where it was. It was a giant stadium in 1991. I can't remember the date. But then when I just remember anything, they had a good time.
Good point.
I have an interesting thing. Well, interesting to me. My first real guitar instructor learned from Jerry Garcia.
Wow.
So I was kind of one step removed from taking lessons from Jerry Garcia.
That's very cool. I'll take it.
I thought it was cool.
Oh, and tonight is Grateful Dead night at it's Oracle Park now, where the San Francisco Giants are playing.
Oh, now I'm sorry I'm not going wearing my tie-dye.
Yeah, I'm wearing my tie-dye San Francisco Giants cap and my...
Oh, cool.
Giants. So what is it, Grateful Dead Night? I mean, is it...
We just do that every year in August, right around the time of Jerry's birthday.
But, I mean, any of the dead people playing?
No. An hour before the show, Moon Alice will be playing. That's a Grateful Dead tribute thing.
Oh, okay. So there's music.
Yeah, there's music.
It's not just everyone walking around missing Jerry. It's celebrating the music and listening to it.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
It's better to celebrate than not.
I'm doing a bus.
It can be remembered.
I'm doing a bus thing, so I get to let my hair down.
Oh,
there you go.
Well, I'm going shoe shopping and doing some shopping. Otherwise, with my cousin, otherwise it would have been nice to have gone another time.
Yeah.
Yes.
What else is going on?
Well, last night I was actually at a birthday party for a 91-year-old, Lucy Cordham. She turned 91, and it was really nice.
Happy birthday, Lucy.
Yeah, it was. I was with Matt McGuire, and we actually had a really good time. Matt and I have butted heads. It's well known. And we had just really a wonderful time last night celebrating Lucy's 91st birthday with a small group of maybe 10 of us, and we all go back in politics in Petaluma. And so it was really exciting to be together, and we all felt this alliance, allegiance with each other, just really good friends. And sometimes your best friends are people from the past that you've accomplished local issues with or just had different accomplishments with, and just good friends. And so it was really nice, and I enjoyed that.
It was a good group of people.
It was a really super good group of people, and I baked a tort, and it was really tasty, and Sherry Carter brought this amazing chocolate cake that she ordered from New York for Lucy's birthday. Yeah, and so we had this tasty tort, raspberry, and then we had this beautiful chocolate cake. So
nice.
Yeah, and the Kellers actually have two cats, and they adopted these two cats at the same time. They're both brothers, and they're both blind. And so it was really interesting watching this cat on the top of their refrigerator, and they took the cat down instead, but normally the cat would go and slide down the rungs of the door handles, and this is what the cats have learned how to do. So it's pretty amazing, and it's admirable that people can, have a cat or animals that they love, and even though they have a disability, they overcome it by having, cat doors going in and out, and these cats can actually maneuver all around their house. So, it's for the Kellers.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. Yeah. So, let's see. I had a cousin that died yesterday, which is sad. He's 60-some-odd years old, cancer, and lived about a year and a half longer than anticipated because of medications, you know, newer medications coming out for cancer.
Yeah.
And so, but it's still really unfortunate. He's a young man in his 60s, or our age group. So, sad.
So what's going on with you, Jason? You're kind of quiet.
Well, I was letting her finish her stuff. I'm actually trying to figure out what I'm going to talk about. So I was looking at the newspaper online, and there's a couple interesting articles on the Petaluma360.com. There was an article about a local Hollywood director who just wrapped up a latest movie with Dennis Quaid. And it's pretty interesting. This guy, Ali Afshar, who is from Petaluma, he actually went to Casa Grande. I think he's done something like 12 films that have been shot in Petaluma. And so so that's pretty interesting. So Petaluma's on the screen quite a bit. There's another article here about an apartment complex that just got approved. If you've been following that, it was a bit controversial, but it's going to be on Ellis Street.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, that piece of property. It's an interesting piece of property. I've seen it for a lot of years. I think in the long run, it's going to be a really great project, and it's really going to show how infill can be mm-hmm. done within a community instead of sprawl. But there's a lot of controversy about it. But I think this is kind of one of the first steps moving into infill and mm-hmm. letting people see what infill actually looks like. And I think it's, on the long run, it's going to be a great project, you know, once you get past the controversy. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in, you know, a year and two and see what people think.
Yeah, one of the concerns, I guess, from some of the lower-level residents that aren't going to be three stories
right.
Is the shadow
exactly.
effect that they're dealing with. So that's a tricky one because, yeah, I mean, if you were in a house living there and all of a sudden right next door someone builds a three-story apartment and now you have no sunlight in your backyard, that's kind of tough.
Yeah.
But it's all about balancing that. I suppose you could solve it with mirrors or something.
Well,
yeah.
No, I mean, it's truly an issue, but I think it's something that we're going to have to tackle, and this
yeah.
is a project
yeah.
that will help us look into the future of what infill looks like.
Yeah.
So.
And last night I didn't get to see them, but we had Billy Bob Thornton playing at the Mystic. And
did you go?
I didn't go. I thought about going, and my wife wasn't into it, and I really thought about going, but, you know, I don't even know much about his music. I haven't really heard much of it. So most of what I would be going for is just the fact that it's Billy Bob Thornton. I personally just decided to save the money and put it towards potentially seeing the Rolling Stones later this month.
Or college tours.
Yeah, there's also that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for reminding me.
On the Facebook today, on the police site, they had a picture with two officers and Billy Bob Thornton in the middle and proudly taking a picture with him.
It's kind of cool. And I bet he said some really nice things about Petaluma. He said
yeah.
he's got a really good fan base here. He really likes coming back here. So
nice.
So that's good press for Petaluma. I just started digging into this article here that's a little disturbing to me, the Point Reyes management plan calling
right.
for the shooting of elk to preserve the ranches. Boy, I get the conflict here, but who was there first? I don't know. The elks, maybe?
elk are transplants.
Yeah.
Are they all transplants?
Yeah, I yes. think, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And that's why they're, yeah,
yes.
go ahead.
They brought them in the 70s.
Tule
yeah.
elk.
Yeah, and they've yeah. just taken over. It's a
yes.
real problem.
Exactly.
I didn't
yeah.
know that. I thought
more,
they were
more forward thinking on our forestry part.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, you know, and it's, I mean, I am not a hunter. I don't own a gun. But, you know, my feeling is if you do go hunting and if you actually eat the meat, then I think it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's not my cup of tea.
So here's the history on that.
It's not a horrible thing.
And this is the reason. The tule elk found only in California once numbered close to 500,000 animals and were hunted nearly to extinction during the gold rush. Reintroduced.
Yes.
So they were originally there.
Yeah.
They were killed.
Yeah.
And then they were reintroduced.
Yeah. The ones
so,
that are there now are transplants.
But
yeah.
Because.
But they were there.
We screwed up.
Yeah.
Exactly. So okay. So that's,
yeah.
It goes back to my point. Who was there first?
Right. Exactly.
So
in Laytonville, there's actually a herd of I think, white elk or something that they
So they were in. Reintroduced to the seashore in 1978. The elk roam in several herds, the largest of which numbers about 430 and lives behind a fence on Tomales Point. The areas outside the ranch territory focused on in the management plan. But yeah, it's pretty, I mean, it's controversial. I understand game management, and I understand that we want to preserve the ranches that are there, but I love those elk, and I love seeing them when I go out there.
Yeah. There's a lot of great habitat out there.
It's beautiful, yeah, and it's so close, and, you know, I always think about it, it's really only like a 25-minute, 30-minute drive to get over there.
Yeah.
It's absolutely gorgeous. Mm-hmm. If you haven't been to Point Reyes Seashore, I highly recommend it.
I want to make sure that we get this in. Janice, you and I know about this, but I don't know about you, Jason. Petaluma Blackspur Community Development is holding a picnic at Mears Park on September 7th.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and I believe it starts at noon.
I believe it's noon to 4.
Yeah, and bring a side dish, and they are going to provide, I think, hamburgers, hot dogs, and drinks.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I'm going to be at a wedding that day.
No.
I am.
Okay, I'll go with Jason.
I know. And so I can't go. Yeah, but, you know, I want to kind of go off on the what we're talking about. It's really about diversity on our town.
Mm-hmm.
And this is yesterday. I was in a store downtown shopping with my cousin, and this woman comes in. And so she was, you know, critiquing if my cousin's outfit looked cute. I mean, it was really, you know, sweet, you know, when people come in and they actually have a conversation instead of just think that you're the only ones in this small store. And they were really talking about the lack of diversity in this town.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at the farmer's market with Mickey, and a woman came up to the Democratic booth, and they were talking about the lack of diversity in this town.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, and I think we need to address that issue somehow, because Petaluma is not a really diverse town. We're welcoming all these new people coming in, and they sometimes don't feel welcomed. And this is, I've heard this quite a few times. And so diversity is really important. And you know, we talk with Faith about it just about as far as black people. You know, you see somebody that's black, and what does she do? She immediately goes up to them and says, "Hey, where are you from?" And at the music festival, I did the same thing to a woman, and she was actually from Vallejo. And we were just talking about how Vallejo is really being gentrified, and she was, you know, really happy to be here and was quite happy where she lived. And, you know, it's, Petaluma is not diversified, and we need to address that issue.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah. And I like diversification.
Then there was an article on Jared Huffman, who was recently in Petaluma, and he talked about a number of things, but the headline is that Huffman pushes to impeach Trump. So that was kind of interesting.
That room was packed.
Did you go to it?
I was there, I was actually on the outside because it was packed inside, and I had Coco with me. And so I stayed outside talking to a police officer. I have to say it was an interesting conversation, a nice guy. But it was packed,
mm-hmm.
and that's a really good sign. And they weren't people that went for about the dredging.
So this was after the dredging.
This was after the dredging, a completely different group of people. And it was really good to see a diverse group going to see our representative. It was pretty powerful.
Yeah, I like his quote here when he's asked, here's who I like for president, a Democrat for president.
Anybody but.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty happy that we have Jared Huffman and even Mike Thompson. He's not our representative, but I think he really does a good job for Northern California.
And then there's a lot of news in here. There's this other notice about marijuana dispensaries. And specifically, this is about some of the companies that have been in the liquor business diversifying. So Francis Ford Coppola, he has a cannabis product line now. Things are really jumping there. Apparently, he had only two accounts from his 10,000-member wine club dropped their subscriptions because of the new marijuana division. So he looks at that as being pretty supportive.
Wait a minute. They say that again?
So, you know, they have a membership.
Right.
People. So there was a little bit of a concern if they got into the marijuana business.
Right.
That some of their wine members might drop off. And the point is that out of 10,000, only two people canceled their membership.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood, and I thought you said 10,000 dropped off, and I go, whoa. Okay, thank you for the clarification.
They don't need to be in line club.
Exactly.
And it says, it talks about Lagunitas again. It says they were the first major beer brand to go to market with a cannabis-infused drink. The quote here, it's great validation in this space that a brand like Lagunitas, arguably a premier brand, puts its logo on something that is made with water and deals with THC. So anyway, interesting developments in the world of cannabis.
Every week? Something new.
Well, I'm just waiting for our city to get with the program.
We were just talking about that. Yeah.
You've got to love Lagunitas. They're way out front.
Yeah, they are.
In the community.
They really are.
Yeah.
You know, we're lucky to have Lagunitas.
I finally had the beer that they brought us when we had
a
Lagunitas guest on. Yeah.
Oh,
it's quite good. It was something like
a long time ago.
God, what was it? It was something like a change or. I can't remember. It was I haven't found it in the stores. It was,
right.
A special one that he had.
Yeah.
If I think of it all.
Well, I think we had it when we went up to.
Phase Change. I think it was called Phase Change.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Really
not.
Nice.
The one we had at Casino was daytime.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, I had daytime. You had something else.
I had something else.
I love the daytime.
Yeah, no, it was good. Yeah.
Well, this was good because a lot of their stuff, for me, I used to like it, but it's a little hoppy. And this was lighter, a bit on the lighter side.
Well, I like their, is it their whiskey stout, I think? I mean,
they've
that's
got so many options.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, it's super dark, and I think it's whiskey or bourbon.
And the Lagunitas Beer Circus is coming up September 14th.
Oh,
so
oh,
you have your tickets.
We'll have to go there.
I'm going to be working in one of the Lagunitas booths. So.
Oh, wow. How can I get to work with you?
You
is that possible? I'd like to. Yeah, what day is it?
I'll hook you up after the show.
Okay, that sounds
good.
It's
September 14th. It's a Saturday.
Oh, okay. That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. We're going to go and see. We're going to see things that we can't unsee.
Yeah, I've never actually been to it. Is it something I should bring my kids to or no?
No.
Okay.
No, it's 21 and over.
Okay.
It's burlesque.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm excited.
And
great.
So is this going to be like, it's like 95 degrees and people are all in their Victorian crazy outfits?
No. They're very minimal outfits.
Ah, okay. Mm.
Very, very minimal.
Well, those days are over for me.
That's amazing.
There was a time.
It's amazing what you can hide behind a tutu.
I'll remember that.
I still have trouble. I
need a big tutu.
Yeah. Okay, why don't we introduce
our guest
here?
I think that's a great idea.
All right. So today on Inside Petaluma, we have Fred Carroll. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here.
I have to say, you already said about 10 or 12 things I would love to have comment on.
Well, go ahead. Go for it now.
We followed protocol. We hadn't introduced you yet, so that's
okay.
It's okay. The two blind cats. The thing about pets is if something's wrong with them, you notice that they don't care.
Right.
And wouldn't you love to be like that if something were wrong with you?
It's very true. Yeah.
They just adapt. That's all they do.
Yeah.
And cannabis is in the forefront in the news. And I rub some on my knees every morning.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, I do. And it works.
Just the plant or like you have a balm probably?
No, it's just an oil.
An oil, yeah.
Did you use a CBD or THC?
No, CBD.
Okay.
CBD.
My knees get high. I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah. You won't care that you have knees.
Well, yeah, it's good to hear this because I have a cousin who lives in Seattle, and Sheila uses her ointments, and she just loves them, and she says they really work.
They do.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, you do,
I've been using the CBD soap. Remember that I bought
that's
at the
right.
Emerald Cup?
Yeah.
Yeah. I only have one bar left. Better make it last.
Well, I guess we have to go to the Emerald Cup again next year.
Yeah. Press passes.
That's fun.
That's fun.
Yeah. So Fred, tell us about Fred. Do you live here in Petaluma?
Well, we do. We moved here from South Pasadena 4 years ago.
And we, meaning you and
myself and my spouse, Mickey.
Yes.
And it's a funny story because we had lived in South Pasadena for 30 years. I had lived in L.A. for 46 years. And I retired in 2010 from being a high school teacher. And Mickey started working at home, and we just sort of looked at each other one day and said, what are we doing here? you know, we can do something else now if we want to, and it mm-hmm. just didn't dawn on us until that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided, well, let's find out what the house is worth and put it on the market and go somewhere.
Wow.
And
how'd you pick Petaluma?
Well, that's the next thing, is it came up in conversation. We have a very dear friend here who was our maid of honor at our wedding 37 years ago. Louise left.
God.
And I said, why don't we, well, we visited her several times before we moved here. And I said, well, you know, why don't we just go to Petaluma? It always looked like a nice place to be.
I so, forgot about that connection. I love it.
Yeah, it was really great. And so we, that's what we did. We just sold the house and moved here.
And what year was that?
2015.
Oh, good. So you've been here for a while.
Yeah.
Well, how are you liking it?
I'm loving it.
Good.
I love it. You may have noticed some things on my bio that I'm on the Youth Commission and the Senior Advisory Committee.
Mm-hmm.
Opportunities to do things like that in L.A. are rare and far between, because mostly it's so politicized that they just get glommed on and you have to know somebody.
Mm.
Right.
But in Petaluma, they advertised the opportunity, which I thought was absolutely stunning,
mm-hmm.
that they'd say, anybody want to serve on this committee or that commission who would like to do that? It was like, wow. How about being welcomed, you know?
Yeah.
It's really
so
great.
You jumped right in.
Yeah, yeah.
So which committee were you on first before you decided to jump into another committee?
The Senior Advisory Committee.
Okay.
And it, of course, deals with issues regarding seniors and reports to the staff, not necessarily the city council. Because that's what committees do.
Right.
Commissions have somebody from the council come to their meetings and they report to the council. So it's great being on the Senior Advisory Committee and the Youth Commission, because I keep looking for ways for this to come together for everybody.
Right.
You know, have a age-friendly Petaluma.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example of it. It's not something that I was involved in, but at the Senior Center, they have a time slot set aside for some high school kid to come in who wants to volunteering to help seniors out with their electronic devices. Now, I don't know about
good
you,
idea.
But I'm still mystified by my phone. There's stuff I don't know about that thing, and I've had it for some years now.
What kind of phone are you using?
It's that's another story. It's a Samsung Galaxy 3S.
Oh, there you
3S.
Go. There you go.
It's a 3.
Yeah.
And Mickey, my dear spouse,
iPhone.
Took it into the phone store to get a new battery for it,
yeah.
And the clerk behind the counter looked at it, held it up to everybody else in the store, and says, when's the last time you saw one of these?
Oh, man.
Oh, you need to upgrade.
To buy.
Well, I thought I was making progress. But
oh, man. Nope.
That's funny.
You know, some people are actually, there's a trend. I think it's a small trend, but some people are actually going back to dumb phones. Because the idea is we get so distracted with these smartphones that do everything. We have our email, we got our web browsing, we're going to watch movies, whatever we want to do. In addition to it being a phone, it's too distracting for a lot of people. So they're going back to these dumb phones that are only cell phones.
No,
and they're
I couldn't do that. I have to see what my dogs are doing when I'm away from home.
I'll survive before without this stuff. We didn't have to check our email right away. I think sometimes we're prisoners to these things.
Well, I think that's becoming statistically true.
I mean, I've just said that. I'm not getting rid of mine.
Right.
But I do try to discipline
right.
myself a little bit,
right.
at least when I'm at the dinner table.
Well, Fred, you have a couple of choices. You can get rid of your 3, or you can buy a dumb phone, or you can upgrade to an iPhone and then just be like the rest of us.
I think I'll stay right where I'm at. I mean, you can't upgrade something you're not disciplined to do. So it's a little, although I'm sure that some people would like to have me move on.
Right.
But
I'm with the Senior Commission. I want to go back, you know, talk about what you actually do, because one of my big things is ADA in this town and seeing ADA issues that I really feel like the city needs to address, because a lot of things were built before ADA was put into law.
Mm-hmm.
And so because it was there before, the city feels as though legally we don't have to do anything because it's grandfathered in. But I feel as though for anybody, seniors, mom and pops, you know, pushing strollers, whatever, just walking on a city street, I think it's really important that we're not impeded. and other issues as far as like health, you know, making sure that seniors are looked upon, you know, who live by themselves, you know, what is the city, you know, what do we do for seniors of all different ages, because we're all becoming seniors now. And you really want to make sure that they're cared for, that they know that there are, if they have a problem, where do they go to get answers? And so...
Well, the committee is one of those places for them to go. Originally, when I got on the committee, they dealt with things like uncovered bus stops and broken sidewalks and some of the things that are actually affect everybody, really.
Exactly.
And the sidewalk problem is a little difficult because in Petaluma, if you own a house, you own the sidewalk.
Right.
So if you're a senior on limited income and you have a corner house,
yeah,
it goes all of that sidewalk is broken by, you know, tree roots and things like that.
Right.
Then it's on you.
Yeah.
And you could be looking at $20,000 to fix it.
Right.
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Well, when I lived in South Pasadena, they owned the sidewalks.
Yeah.
Which made a lot of sense to me because they also owned the trees that lived there.
Yeah.
And if something went wrong with the tree, they would fix it. And if in our case, we had a tree fall on our driveway. And it broke the sidewalk.
Well, the other issue is, I suppose part of it is a cost savings thing for the city. They think that if the owner is responsible for the sidewalk, it's going to cost the city less money in terms of repairing sidewalks. But the other flip side of that is, who's at fault if someone trips over it? Is that the city or is that the resident? Does the resident get sued? If the resident gets sued and doesn't have the money, then what?
Hmm.
But I just don't know about that cost. Does anyone know?
I don't know the answer. I mean, I'm not sure about that.
I've heard anecdotal stories about it, so I wouldn't want to rely on them. But the ordinance about the sidewalks went into effect in 1859.
Okay.
The year after
really?
The city. Yeah, the year after the city was incorporated.
Interesting. So it's just a legacy thing.
Well, it was revised two times after that.
Oh.
But it was all it did was make it more complicated.
Because I do know, as a matter of fact, that the city has had a number of lawsuits from people tripping over various.
And I thought they were on city sidewalks.
But I don't know if these are ones that are neighbors. These are like city sidewalks downtown, or they're ones where there's a house. I also don't know if that counts for a business. So if a business or the owner of a property where there's a business, are they also responsible for the sidewalk in front of their business?
It just depends. No, in downtown, no, they are not. I think the city owns the sidewalk.
So I'm not sure where these suits are, but I know the city has been sued for problems with sidewalks. I'm just not sure if those are ones that were residents.
Well, it seems to me, I mean, a possible solution to this is that, you know, as far as getting sidewalks fixed, so people are not burdened who really can't afford it, you can actually add something onto your tax base.
We should.
And, I mean, and so you could do that. Or maybe, I mean, as a city, I think we really need to look at this in a holistic way and make sure, because a safe sidewalk for me down the street is just as important as in front of my house.
Well, the other thing is, part of the time, there's also difficulty in removing a tree.
Right, exactly.
So if the tree can't be removed, but the tree's roots are causing the problem with the sidewalk, that's sort of a double whammy for the homeowner.
Right. Well, Fred... We hope that you can solve this problem.
I'm just sitting here thinking, we're way off topic.
Yeah, I mean, because I don't think we're going to, but
I wanted to know how closely the committee works with Petaluma People Services Center.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't think the committee, well, we do, I'm sure, but it's
I'm
more.
I'm sure you make references more, to it, at least.
It's more our resident staff member, Sandra Krause, who works with them a lot, because she references them frequently in our meetings.
I mean, what I meant was somebody comes to the commission, like myself, I come to the commission with a concern or an issue or a need to know something, you might refer me to Petaluma People Services Center.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you're also on the youth commission.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, you know, being a teacher, I think this is great. I mean, it segues... And as a mature senior citizen, you fit into both categories.
I was going to say, I'm the oldest member of the youth commission.
Oh, so you're also a substitute teacher. I didn't notice that for Petaluma High School.
Yeah.
You're still doing that?
Yes.
Wow.
Really?
And in special ed, too, which is quite a contrast from when I was teaching. I taught advanced placement in high school and stuff like that.
What does it explain special ed?
It's kids who have
special needs.
Right, I understand that. But, I mean, do they have a... I mean, when I went to Kenilworth, you had your special classroom. It was a classroom that was kind of they were segregated from the larger population. So I'm just curious.
That's what it is in my case of Petaluma High.
Okay.
And they have a range of things that they're dealing with. But why I like teaching special ed kids is that they know they've got something to deal with. So they're not out to cause trouble. They're out to get better.
Right.
There's some sort of lingering commitment behind their presence there that has them pay attention as good as they can. Some of them can't. But that doesn't make them easy to be with, but it makes them at least more receptive than the ordinary teenage high school kid would be.
Socializes them, too.
Pardon?
Right. Socializes them.
Yeah.
Explain the students. I mean, what are the disabilities? What are their needs?
Yes.
The different needs between them.
Yeah, some of them have seizures.
Okay.
So they
can't
be mainstream for that reason.
Okay.
Some of them are mainstream for certain classes.
Okay.
Because they do better in those classes than they would otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking like autistic kids on the spectrum, and then just people with medical issues and just a variety?
Yeah. Cerebral palsy, Down syndrome.
Okay.
And they do better being mainstreamed in classes for math mm-hmm. than even English because they have the facility for that.
I have a 35-year-old stepson with Down syndrome, and he was mainstreamed.
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing about mainstreaming, though, is that he was very socially adapted, but he didn't learn anything that way. And in high school, we actually did put him in special ed class, and he learned how to count money, and he learned how to read.
Right.
Yeah. And now he lives in his own apartment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, that's great. And some of them have one-on-one aides, too. So there could be a teacher there and a support people in the back that work with individual students who have certain difficulty with certain things. They can't concentrate, or they have difficulty reading or thinking logically. You know, so they have someone that sits next to them that helps them with their studies in class. So I must say, though, I've been impressed at the degree of care that's been given them in the Pasadena school system. Petaluma school system. They really do take care, and the teachers really do care. So I've been impressed with that, and it's been enlightening.
So
you're a busy guy.
Yeah, I
want to get to. This hour's going by fast.
Yeah.
I want to make sure to talk some about your union activism.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you are very active in your union. See,
this is pretty impressive. You're the founder of the Union Producers and Programmers Network.
I talk a little bit about that. That was a pre-internet thing.
Yeah,
it was back when the internet was the information superhighway.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
I remember that.
Yeah.
And we actually gave congressional testimony about preserving public access television and radio for the people, and not have it taken over by commercial interests or by the education programs or by the city. That it should be distinct, different, and available to regular old people.
Did you get to meet Fred Rogers? Mr. Rogers?
As a matter of fact, that was on my service at the KCET advisory board.
Because he did a very compelling testimony, I remember, on the need for supporting public broadcasting.
He came into one of our meetings. It was one of the most delightful meetings I've ever been to.
I love that guy.
Wow.
Such a cool guy.
Well, you know, the movie about him was really a delightful movie.
I haven't seen it yet.
It was a great movie, and what the sad thing is that he was basically kind of booted off because of the, you know, new white evangelicals wanting to take over our country.
Hmm.
And they opposed him, and he's an amazing man.
And he's actually relatively conservative.
Yes, he was.
But you never saw that.
Yeah.
And it was all, you know, the show, for me, it was all about trying to be tolerant and understanding of people.
Well, that's what the movie really showed, yeah. is his tolerance and how he brought in people of color.
So what kind of work did you do for...
Well, I started off working in a grocery store.
Okay.
Back in the day, it was a good middle-class job that paid you really well.
Union job. Right.
Yeah, yeah. And I had gone to college, but college never sort of caught on with me. And then when I got a good job, I sort of figured, well, maybe I don't need a college degree. But I stuck to it, and when I was 49, I finally got my college degree. But the union also helped me do that. So it was a pathway that I could go to the National Labor College back in Maryland, get homework for 6 months, come home, complete it, send it in, go back another 6 months, get some more homework, come back and complete it. So I finally ended up getting my degree that way. And it was really the only way I could have done it because I was a father and I had two kids and I was, working. I was a working guy.
Did your union negotiate a tuition reimbursement program so that you could go to college?
No, all they asked of me, it wasn't a reimbursement thing. All they asked of me was that I go on my vacation time
mm-hmm.
and pay my own airfare.
Mm.
Otherwise, everything was covered.
Okay.
Wow.
So
nice.
They made it easy for me.
Yeah.
And it really was the only way I could have done it because I was a parent. I was a working father.
Yeah.
What was your degree in?
Hold on. Ready? Labor studies.
Okay, because that's National Labor College. Mm-hmm. So that would make sense, I guess.
Yeah.
Labor studies. And then you got a teaching credential.
Yes. Yeah.
And then you went on to be a union leader at one point.
Well, I was on the executive board.
That's a leader.
For about 14 years, I think. And
yeah.
Also held various committee posts while I was doing that. I helped decide what the president was going to get paid. And the secretary treasurer and, what the union reps were going to get paid. It was a very sensitive place to be, you might imagine. But there were other things, too. But
contract negotiations?
I never got there, yeah. No. I had input, but I never was at the table.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to watch them do what they do because some of it's so contentious, I never really realized how PO'd people could get
yeah.
at each other.
Yeah, I remember sitting at many negotiation tables, and people actually threw things at each other.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Kicking tables and shoving chairs over.
You mean the good old days when people were having piss and vinegar and they were just going to go out.
Real negotiations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The way they should be done.
And some of that was among the people that were on your side.
Yeah.
Because in Southern California, there were 7 local presidents, and they didn't all get along, God knows.
Yeah. Well, there's a real art to it, too, because your team gets together before you go to sit with management, and you decide, everybody can't fly off the handle, so you decide who's going to be the one to shove the chair over, to be the drama person, yeah. So I'm sure management did the same thing. So,
yeah.
Huh. Anyway, yeah, just a very colorful life, Fred.
So, thank you.
So what's this Mother's Club for earning?
Oh, it's learning.
Learning?
I left the L out.
Oh, okay.
That is an interesting place. It was a place where single mothers could come and get tutored, whether they were already taking classes or they were trying to learn English or they were trying to, they had to bring their kids. So the kids had a place to play, and the
right.
moms had a place to sit down with somebody who would tutor them. So that's what I did there.
Well, I'm with Literacy Works, and they work with a lot of Spanish or non-English speakers, and quite a successful program. These people go to the junior college, and this last year, 8 people actually went to universities or state colleges. And so it's all learning experience. But what they do is they give out, cards, debit cards for, gasoline. So, so they can get to meetings. They can get to, a mother's learning center. And so that they actually have backup. And if you even need groceries or for gasoline. And so it's really important.
There's a side benefit to volunteering there. Is the mothers would bring sometimes their favorite dish.
Oh, that's even better. that's
One
better.
One could gain weight volunteering.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah, Well, you know, women, it's important protecting and supporting women.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're the lower money earners, unfortunately, and that still is happening today, even though we're getting a little bit more clout in that way. It's important that women are equal. Yeah. Everybody's equal.
I have three daughters.
Yeah. Okay.
I've been pretty well trained.
Yes, you are. That's right. Yes. Well, we did a few things at Aquas. We met there for a few meetings. And the Tuesday one is, wait, or is it Thursday? For just learning how to communicate.
Conversations.
Yeah, just, you know, learning, you know, listening to what somebody says and actually learning how to listen.
That's right. That's where I told you the story about having one mother, two wives, and three daughters.
That's exactly right. When you said you had three daughters.
How that impacted my life.
That's exactly right. Yeah, yeah.
I think that's what it takes.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. I think you're very, very true.
Yeah. So you're listening to Insight Petaluma. I'm Cindy here with my co-hosts Jason and Janet, and
I was going to say I never go by Jan or Janice or Janet.
Just like I never go by Lucy, and Lucinda. And we are also here with our guest Fred Carroll. Thank you again, Fred, for being here.
My pleasure.
And I understand you're going to be taking a trip to Italy.
Yes, we are in November.
Nice for you.
I've never been there.
Oh, you're going to have fun. Where are you planning to go?
Well, we're going to land in Rome, which I think is very fitting.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go to Pisa and Florence and leave from Venice.
Nice.
So it's a tour.
You'll have fun.
I like tours because they're not confusing. So somebody tells you where to go and when to be there, and they even get you on the bus, you know. So
what tour do you like?
Pardon?
What tour company you work with?
I don't remember the name of it.
Okay.
I mean, Mickey had a hand in this. She's really on top
of
it.
I'll talk to the boss.
Oh, yeah, please do.
I'll find out.
Please do.
First time in Europe?
If you don't count Ireland, yes.
Okay.
I
don't know that John Crowley would agree with you.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's good.
Well, Ireland's still in the EU, right?
Well, that's an interesting issue because
who knows?
It's all about Northern Ireland, really.
Yeah.
Like if England leaves the EU, then what's the status of that border?
Yeah.
You know, will Ireland honor it, or is there some arrangement, or would they even reunite?
Hmm.
That would be on the table too, I would think.
And interesting.
We shall see.
Well, you should have a great time in Italy. I've been there multiple times. It's one of my favorite countries in Europe to go to. I haven't been to Florence, actually. I've been to Italy many times. I've never been to Florence. But I've been to Venice and Rome, and you're going to have fun there. I've also never been to Pisa. Mm-hmm. I heard that's a lot of fun. So,
well, Jerry and
hard
my
to
husband
stay away from carbs, though. Sorry.
Jerry and my husband and our oldest daughter, Haley, they took an Italian class together at the JC, two semesters.
Oh, nice.
And then they took this 18-day trek, and they got on a plane, and they were supposed to go into, I think, Rome, but they ended up in another airport because of whatever reason.
Oh.
Because they might have gotten bumped off their flight, and they really didn't care because they went for 18 days with no reservations and just decided, well, we'll start here and we'll figure out where, you know, and then we're going in one airport and out the other. It ended up being the opposite because they ended up going without any reservations, but it was great. They had no problems. They could both, you know, get by. Haley was, of course, better at the Italian than Jerry was, being younger. But they had a really good time for 18 days, and they managed to stay together. And the good part is she goes, boy, Dad can be difficult. And I said, oh, really? So it was a good mother or father-daughter trip. But they no reservations, and they managed. And I just remember she was talking about this restaurant they went to, and she ordered this dish, and she didn't know what it was, and it was a plate of fried fish, almost like sand dabs. And it was just like piled high. Well, she didn't. So she didn't like it. So they ended up trading dishes. But I have this beautiful Italian cookbook, and there was the picture of these fried fish. So that's really exciting.
Yeah, you have a lot of
looking forward.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're a poet, also.
I saw that too.
Well, it's I'm a sort of a closet writer.
Uh-huh.
Always have been, even back in my teenage days. And one expression of this is I'm writing a biography, autobiography in poetry. So sometimes there's only one poem a year in there. Sometimes it'll be a couple of years, and then another one will show up. But it goes back to the early 60s, and it's all about growing up, getting older, maturing, working, being married, having kids, the whole adventure of life, really. And it has something to do with historical things that happened, like Vietnam and things like that. So,
were you in the service?
No, I was not.
Okay.
No. I had a high draft number.
Oh, not wood, you were very lucky. Believe me, I lived through the Vietnam.
So it wasn't bone spurs or anything.
Yeah.
God no.
Yeah.
I did it the right way.
Yeah. That's yeah. What is this? Let me see. It said something about the Red Cross. Red Cross club sponsor. What does that mean?
Well, that's when I was teaching.
Okay.
The kids came in one day and said, "Look, we can't have this club if we don't have a teacher sponsor us. So would you please be the Red Cross?" And all it really meant was that they'd come into my classroom at noon, eat their lunch there, talk their business over, and leave.
Like a club.
Yeah, it was just that. You know, but
so it had nothing to do with the Red Cross.
Well, it did for them. I was kind of not involved in the other part of it. But listening to them talk about it, I learned some things I wouldn't have otherwise, that's for sure.
What did they talk about?
Yeah.
Binding, how to stop the bleeding, how to bind wounds, how to do first aid.
Also, like, first aid Red Cross.
Yeah.
I was looking at the National Red Cross, and that's what I was connecting with.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Wow. So basically a little emergency medical class, and wow, interesting. Huh. Well, I think that should be actually be a class myself, and including typing, you know, just a lot of those classes are gone. I mean, we wouldn't call it typing today. I don't know what we call it, but, you know, those basic
voice to text.
Exactly. You got to be really careful with those things, though. Before pushing send, make sure that certain language isn't in there. I think I pushed one yesterday, and I go, oh, my God, I brought it back, and it definitely had some choice language in there. And it wasn't what I was saying. It was what it was thinking I was saying.
So you were on the community advisory board for KCET from 1982 to 1988.
That's where I met Fred Rogers.
That was
oh, okay. Cool.
That was his station. That's where he filmed his program.
And was KCET a Pasadena station?
No, well, it was L.A.
The
PBS station in L.A.
Okay.
Huh.
Sort of like KQED is here.
Yeah.
Or sort of like KPCA.
Yeah, right. On a different level.
Yeah.
Exactly right. And he just wandered into one of our meetings one day. It was just really exciting.
How cool.
No particular reason for him to be there. I guess he just got done filming and he was looking around for something to do.
Was he wearing tennis shoes?
I don't remember.
But
he did have a sweater on.
He did have a sweater.
He did. Huh. And he was just like he was on TV. No different at all.
Such a great guy. I love that.
You know, his wife speaks in this movie. Mm. And, I mean, she is equally as lovely as he is. And what an amazing couple that they were. And, you know, this tribute was really, it was a tribute to his life, but it was really showing about how our country may not have grown when it comes to racial issues. Mm. And, he had a... It's really hard, you know, being a spouse of somebody that is as popular as Fred Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, makes me sad that he's gone.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got cancer and left fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. I believe it was cancer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I deal with that cancer again.
Yeah, we hate that cancer. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So, before the end of the show, I would just want to raise an issue that I heard last night at my birthday party.
Okay.
Somebody was talking about the parking ordinance, and they misread it in the paper, thinking that if you have a car, that you have to move it every 72 hours. And we were explaining it's really not necessarily 100% about cars. It's about boats, motorhomes, unattached, you know, carts.
It does include cars.
But it does include cars. But if you actually own a car and weeds are growing around it, that is a bigger issue. And I think that's what the city's going to look focusing on. And Sherry was just confused. And then when we explained it, she was absolutely supportive of making changes to that ordinance.
Interesting that she read the article and didn't really get the full...
And exactly, because she's actually a writer, and she writes newsletters, and so for her to have missed that, I would say there's something in the article that...
Well, don't get me started on that article.
Well, don't get me started on that article either, but it was just another point of misrepresentation.
Yes,
yeah.
It was.
And so Cindy and I were actually at that meeting, and I am a member of the Indivisible Facebook. But that's all I am.
Yes, it was Indivisible Petaluma that was highlighted in this article, if you missed it. But, yeah.
Isn't that the definition of being a member of their group, though, being a member of the Facebook group?
Well, they don't represent me, and they're not representing me in that.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying, though, aren't we members of Indivisible if we're part of that Facebook group?
Maybe you guys are, but I'm not.
Yeah, Cindy would.
You're not part of the Facebook.
I'm not associated with Indivisible.
And they were not representing me.
Right.
It was pretty clear, and Cindy specifically said that she is not represented by them in the article, made it sound like we were all not just a member or non-member, but they were representing us, and that is
That's an important distinction.
Yes. It really was. Yes. And so...
Petaluma is just a chapter of the overall Indivisible group, which is a national... structure. So I do support that concept. I do.
But not
the Petaluma chapter.
Yeah.
There's some issues there that I can't stand by. So I can't. Be a member.
Well, and you know, when you're in a meeting and you're not being represented by somebody, and the article comes out that it's like we were there sitting like their minions sitting there, and that just was not the case. So
this is a perfect example of why I don't want to associate with them, because it was a misrepresentation.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and it definitely was. But I thought the meeting, I think we're going to have some success with changing that ordinance, which was done in 2003. You know, when you were talking about, you know, changes in directions with organizations, you have to make changes. When we were talking about the sidewalk. You know, it was changed. It started here, then it was changed here, and it was changed here. It's the same kind of a thing, except the town is changing very much so. And I think you have to look at all the different aspects, whether it's sidewalks, parking. We need to address these issues as a town grows. And it's the same with the infill projects. It's all it's very painful for a lot of people when change happens, but. My personal opinion is I like change. I really love the new people that are moving into our community because they're bringing diversity, not as much as I like, but there is definitely diversity here. And so I think things are going in a good direction in our community. And I just think it's great that you move up here in 2015 and you're on the Youth Commission, you know, you're on Senior Advisory, and you're just really involved, both you and Mickey. And, you know, I think it's impressive. You go into a community and you jump in. And this is what a community needs.
That's great. Yeah. So under hobbies, you mentioned reading, too. So I'm just going to ask you, are you involved in any interesting book we might want to know about?
Where to begin? I'm reading a history of women's involvement in the Civil War.
Oh, that's interesting.
It is interesting because... close to 350 women actually fought in uniform.
Wow.
In the Civil War, although they kept it a really good secret, as you imagine they would have to. And I'm not quite through it all yet, but I think that commitment in women is something that can express itself in ways that I think is surprising, especially to men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they would want to put on a uniform and do it stealthily.
Yeah, it sounds like a very
war and you know shoot at other people and there for their country.
Well, and these wars are so brutal.
Yeah,
I mean it was like World War I. I mean, brutal.
Well, the Civil War in particular.
Yeah,
because at the time it took place, warfare had been modernized to a pretty high degree, mm-hmm. so much so that when World War I came around, a lot of the same technology was used.
Right, exactly.
It was in existence, and that's all they knew.
Yeah.
We've, of course, improved upon that, if you can call it that, over time.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's really scary is, you know, the shootings that, you know, yeah. happened in El Paso and then yeah. in Ohio.
Yeah.
They're using weapons that you use in war today. And, you know, and it's kind of equivalent, but a different type, you know, starting with the Civil War. And it's brutal. I mean, these are brutal weapons, mm-hmm. and they're meant to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, you know, as you talk about we evolved,
yeah.
you know, where are we evolving to?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty frightening that this is happening in our country, and it could happen here. There's no reason why it couldn't. And that's when you go back to diversity in a community, yeah. how it's so important, because when there was a rally about 3-4 weeks ago by the library, you know, about 4 young men, and these are the ones, you know, with the Confederate flags and yeah. holding the American flag up, were standing there, meant to intimidate.
Yeah.
And these are 4 young men that really need to be educated,
yeah.
and it could happen here, and let's not think that it can't.
Right. There's been over 250 mass shootings since the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
That means a mass shooting is 4 or more people killed, yeah. not including the gunman.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
How did we get there? You know, I just shake my head and wonder. You know, and it could come home to us. I mean, you know, I don't want Mickey catching a bullet at the grocery store, for heaven's
yeah.
sakes.
Right.
Well, I was in a movie theater last night, and there was an altercation. I wasn't all the way in the rear of the theater, but there was an altercation that happened, and I started thinking, do I need to throw myself down on the floor?
Right, that's yeah. what I was
this
supposed to see you on the floor.
Exactly,
yeah.
exactly.
In Petaluma? Mm-hmm.
At the San Rafael Theater,
oh.
but it was ugly. I mean, there was a lot of yelling and scuffling, and I just... This guy had a backpack on, and I could picture him pulling something out. And it's horrible that we have to think in terms of that now when we go to see
right.
a movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh, wow. No, I mean,
definitely a changing climate.
Well, it's a changing climate, and, you know, Trump has brought racism to the forefront. It's always been here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I think of black men that were just beaten because they were black, and then they're lynched, you know. I mean, this can happen today.
Well, and the false equivalencies. I mean, he said again, he mentioned there, you know, all types of extremists, and he mentioned Antifa, anti-fascist.
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
an anti. This,
no, this is
goes back to pre-Nazi Germany.
Absolutely.
And they're all about fighting fascism.
Yep. Absolutely.
Well, as usual, we lost track of time. I'm like, we're supposed to be out here.
I just asked him what book he read.
I mean, this is a good thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we had a full hour, and it was nice having you here, Fred.
Thank you for having me.
We learned
me.
A lot
Thank
about
you,
and so did everybody else who's listening.
And let's get involved.
Yeah.
You sign up for commissions.
Yeah. You've been listening to KTCA 103.3 FM. The show is Inside Petaluma. We're here every Friday from 11 to noon. I'm Cindy Thomas, here with Jason Davies and Janice Cater Thompson, and we will be back next week.
Thank you. See you next week.
Thanks.
Oh,
have
and
a great
go,
week,
to our,
yeah.
you can go to our page, insidepetaluma.com, and get any past episodes, including this one, later today.
Yes, you can.
All right. Have a good weekend,
Thanks.
Everyone.
Thanks.
Bye.